Here we are, worldwide live over the internet radio, BBS. Thank you, BBS, for making this possible. Today it is Monday, June 12, 2017. Another Monday episode. And we have several people on the phone line, as this is a simulcast Twitter conference call. Welcome you all. Hello, May. I heard you. Thank you for being here. And more people have joined in. Welcome. If you want to, please say a name and location.
Good evening, Heis. It's Cleo in Connecticut.
Welcome to the call, Cleo.
Thank you.
All right.
Hi, Heis. It's Prudence. Good evening.
Hello, Prudy. Good evening to you.
Hi. Thank you.
And the helicopter is up there, so wind will be on time tonight. And welcome to all those folks that are here listening in through BBS Radio online. Thank you for participating with the work that wind is providing, that we are all participating in one way or another. Good evening. Welcome to the conference call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, this is April, Las Vegas.
Welcome to the call, April.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here. I actually haven't even checked my email yet to see if there's an announcement email out there for tonight's call. Yes, there is. How the Elohim created the universe. It remains a very interesting topic. And fortunately, we are being informed. That's pretty interesting, in my opinion, and hope you will all enjoy this tonight. Good evening. Welcome to the next caller. Please say name and location.
It's Wynn.
Hello, Wynn. Welcome to the call.
I'm sorry I'm checking in so early, but...
Hi, Wynn.
Is that Prudence?
Yes, sir.
So what was your favorite thing about Las Vegas?
Besides the crap tables, the slot machines, and the pool.
What did you say before the pool?
The slot machines.
Oh, you gambled.
Yeah, I tried.
But you broke even. You broke even.
I would say I broke even, I think, in the last half hour. I missed my cab ride. They wouldn't let me leave the crap table. I think a lot of people made money, and they were throwing chips at me. So you can't leave. You can't leave. It was about 35 minutes.
You mean the people that were making money were throwing chips at you?
Yes, giving me money to stay, because I had a cab to catch, and I was just rolling all kinds of good numbers. They were making money.
Did they think you were bringing them all good luck?
Yes, they did.
Yeah.
Well, you should have told them, you need to give a percentage. my favorite charity.
Don't worry.
Hello, Jane. Good evening.
Hey, thanks a lot. Yes, I'm here.
Yes, I know. Thank you for being here, Jane. Welcome to the next call. Welcome. Please say your name and location.
Hi, it's Susan in Virginia.
Hi, Susan. Good evening and welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Susan, I've been thinking about you.
Welcome to the next call. Thank you for being here. Please say your name and location.
Positive greetings, Hive, Arizona, Raiden.
Positive greetings to you as well, Raiden. Welcome to the call.
Thank you. For being here.
Oh, where is Terry?
Right here.
Hi, Terry.
I'm here. Hi.
Good to have you on tonight. Thank you for being here, Terry.
Thank you.
Hi, Terry.
Hi, who's this?
It's Raiden. How are you, dear?
Oh, hi, Raiden. Hi.
You sound great.
Yeah. Doing better. A lot better.
Yep.
She's doing better than before all this happened.
Oh, yeah. I knew.
Well, I need to gain weight, though.
You're singing to the choir there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Terry's going to be the first
one born to it. Pardon?
Terry's going to be the first senior citizen Twiggy. Does anyone remember Twiggy?
Yes.
Yep.
Welcome, Don.
Hi, this is Bonnie in California.
Hello, Bonnie. Welcome.
Hi, everybody.
Are you at your restaurant tonight, Bonnie?
No, I'm in my car heading home.
All right. All right. Everyone, is BBS on?
BBS is on, yes. We are worldwide live, and welcome up to all those that are joining in here.
Okay.
Online.
So,
are you ready?
Well, I'm never ready, and neither is Terry. That means we can start.
Fantastic. I'm going to mute the lines.
All callers are muted, and they can unmute themselves.
The 12th day of June.
This conference is being recorded.
This is June 12th, 2017. Wynn and Terry in Sedona, Arizona, online for our Monday night conference call. And it's been quite a few months since we did a session of how the Elohim created the universe. And we started this. When was the first session, Terry?
Seems like more than a year. We started it when we were in L.A.
That was about 3 or 4, 5 years ago. I don't know. But
it was probably 8 or 9 years ago.
Well, actually, we really started when I started doing sessions for the book, and I asked them. But I kind of said to myself, well, if they really are who they say they are, they should be able to answer these questions. So let's see what happens. And they did. And it's like we came up with a series of understandings of how the universe works that has never, ever been in this realm, to my knowledge. And so I never know what I'm going to ask, although I am going to start on a particular area. And on the spiritchannel.net, if you go into the top bar that says topic, one of the topics is how the Elohim created the universe. And I believe there's probably 20 calls or 20 sessions at least up in that area. Some of them with transcripts. So if you find yourself having epiphanies, who knows what is it? Jerry, you're breathing into the mic.
All callers are unmuted.
Do you guys know in the... What?
Move your own mic a little bit away from you, please.
Okay. Am I too loud?
Is that
better?
Yes,
okay.
Thank you.
Anybody doesn't know what the word epiphany means? Okay.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
I don't know. What is epiphany?
Epiphany is when somebody has a huge aha experience.
Oh.
Okay?
Okay.
In other words, where they something, somebody says something and it triggers something in them on a cellular level. And they go, oh, is that how it works? Okay.
Uh-huh.
Or it could be anything, but deeper understanding. Okay. Now, is that you breathing, Terry?
Yeah, I'll mute myself again.
Well, we're just going to go right into it, so don't mute yourself, okay?
Okay.
We'll just breathe with you, okay?
But also try moving your mic a little bit away from you, Terry.
Okay. There.
It's a good thing Hive is patient.
And everybody else, too.
All right. Here we go. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect Terry and myself, and any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy fields of planet Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls, and we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us, and we create a protected space that only the positive has access to. Anything not of that nature must leave now, and do we have our sources present?
Yes. This is Fra'an, and we greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. It brings us joy to connect and to bring through. We are a bridge between the one infinite creator and the third density and other densities that may need our assistance. And we are available for assistance. If we ever see anything that doesn't make sense or resonate with you, then disregard it, because it is not meant for you at this time. Do you have questions?
Yes. Last week I had an email exchange with Jim McCarty, and he made a correction to me where sometimes I say there are hundreds of millions of Ra souls. And he said, no, Wim, there's only 7.5 million. And then I told him, but in the Ra material, it talks about 65 million wanderers. And if there's 65 million Ra wanderers, then that means that there would have to be hundreds of millions of Ra souls, the 65 million of them, are in this sensing. And then Jim said, and he said this was in the raw material, that in fact there are three group souls that are sending, have, you know, their soul group members taking incarnations on our planet. So for people that are listening, just to make sure that they understand what I'm talking about, the universe was originally created by projected frequencies. I don't think you're going to understand this. I'm just going to brush through it, but give you an idea. Projected frequencies by the Elohim. And the Elohim say they are very big, and they talk about things like spinning out galaxies. And then a level was created, and that level would create a level underneath it, which operated on a different timeline. And that level would create a level underneath it, which operated on a different timeline. And the timelines are getting slower and slower, and the fabrication of the universe is getting more and more dense until you get to Earth, where we have one of the slowest of timelines and the densest of material, okay? And that beings with consciousness started with the Elohim, but then there were numerous ET groups that many of them were subsets of the Elohim that had taken bodies that were helping to develop the universe, helping to develop races, and supposedly, and this is not according to our sources, according to Edgar Cayce, Earth has 12 root races, which means we 12 different ET groups. So the Elohim did not necessarily directly create the beings, although Elohim souls would come into this realm and would occupy or share space with a being and then oftentimes get caught in the reincarnational cycles of this realm once they did that. So there's numbers of Elohim souls in this realm, and probably most of them don't know they're Elohim. So that's bringing it up to speed. Oh, but then there's this process of evolution that once there's a being in this realm, if it's a high being, it can devolve, and then there are beings that are indigenous to the evolution of the realm on Earth, and they can also evolve, and eventually a being can free themselves from the need to come back into a body, which is graduating this realm. And that when they do that, there's always, every being has total free will at every step of the way. So when a being qualifies to graduate and then chooses to, because apparently many times beings will qualify to graduate, but they choose not to, because they want to keep staying in this realm to be of service. But when a being chooses to graduate, they can join a group soul and operate as part of a team of graduates, helping other planetary populations evolve. And so one of the principal groups that helps our planet has identified itself as the Ra group. And the source we're talking to, which is Ra'an, is a combination of the Elohim, and then at a certain point, certain Ra group members joined them in order to increase their bandwidth and ability to reach this realm. So first of all, let me turn it over to our sources and see if they want to correct anything I said or clarify.
Yes. In the Ra group, check out the figure 6.5 million instead of 7.5 million. There are many that can be eventually accepted back into the rock group or into the rock group. The rock group has organized in a way that new members can be adopted in. There are other soul groups that different races on Earth are connected more with than the Elohim or the Ra group. For instance, in India, there is a soul group that Indians attain to. And they are of a particular frequency and are welcomed in to that soul group.
Is that like there's a lot of Indian deities like Ganesh and Krishna, and is that all part of that other soul group?
Some of the masters connect with the Ra group and the Elohim group, or the Elohim group, and some of them connect with the Tibetan soul group. Chinese soul group, Indian soul group.
Now, with regarding the Chinese soul group, or even the Indian, are any of these soul groups more reptilian in nature? Because I have a friend who is very evolved, and we even seem to have a past life connection, but she's always referring to dragons, and I'm never quite sure I trust her affiliations, but she does not connect. She doesn't seem to be able to connect vibrationally with what I'm doing, even though she's very involved. Can you give some clarity on that?
Yes. She has connected with a particular soul group that may seem foreign or even reptilian. And this is what resonates with her, and this is what she brings through, and goals are, some of the goals are similar for a better planet and a better world.
Mm-hmm. It seems within her cosmology, there is more of an emphasis on hierarchy and who's on top. And it made me consider that perhaps it has a service to self-slant.
Give us a moment. Some of the entities in that group are foreign to you and to the Western civilization. They are within their own group. There is a hierarchy. there are those that have more skills, more mastery, more wisdom. This is an organization, the way this particular group has organized itself and gives the members a place in the hierarchy and things they can aspire to. This was based upon the peoples who are connected with this hierarchy and their way of life.
Does that group have a name?
We do not have the name at this time, as it is a Chinese name. the entity instrument channeling has...
Now,
go ahead.
She can't get the translation right, right? It's too hard.
Right.
Okay.
It's sound only.
Mm-hmm. Now, how is it that this group is not connected at some level with the Elohim? Is it because do they choose not to be? Or do they come from another universe? What's the explanation?
They have derived within that particular culture. And are connected with that culture and the peoples of that culture. They don't come from a different universe, but have evolved.
Okay, so it was an evolution where they evolved and just stayed within their own knowledge bank circle, okay, and then get out of it. I would assume the Elohim would have been a larger hologram than the group soul, but somehow billions and billions of years went by and they never accessed that.
Give us a minute. The headset is going to just a minute. It should be all right. This is Terry. It should be all right for a little bit now. Okay. So, could you repeat that?
The question was that this soul group was connected to, I'm not sure if it's the same one with the Chinese and the Indian, but this alternative soul group.
There are different ones. The Chinese is different than the Indian.
Okay. It seemed to indicate that they did not connect with the Elohim. Now, I would assume
they are not aware of the Elohim, although right. the Elohim
is aware of them.
Yes.
Yeah. So in other words, the Elohim would be a larger hologram than that group soul that we're talking about.
That is correct.
Whatever reason, they never accessed into it, right? They just
right.
stayed within their own paradigm.
Yes.
Now, let's suppose, I'm just thinking how this works. Let's suppose a Chinese woman who has a strong connection with this group soul marries a Caucasian person that has a strong connection with the Elohim. Does this start the potential process of the integration of these group souls?
That is taking it one step too far. It would increase the growth of the two individuals who married, and one may become aware of the other group. However, mm-hmm. it would not influence the whole... perhaps we should call them the Dragon Group of China?
Mm-hmm. I see. So, I mean, but it can influence the two people, right?
That's correct, and set them on a higher path, both of them.
Right. So my friend that's involved with the Dragon Group, then it's worthwhile having discussion with her for both of our expansions.
Yes.
Yeah. Because part of me was a little bit concerned about it, because I thought, well, maybe it's a reptilian energy. Probably is a reptilian. It's leaning in a reptilian direction, yes?
Yes, it has some of those aspects.
Mm-hmm. And so within the Dragon Group, is the same process going with members that graduated but then come back as to be wanderers?
It is not exactly the same, as organization and rank is a particular part of the group think.
Mm-hmm.
And the people who ascend into that group are people who are used to that particular mode of thinking and
mm-hmm.
have been customized by the Chinese society into their way of thinking.
Mm-hmm. It's why Asians have such utmost respect for authority, I would imagine, yes.
It is partly the way that they are organized, yes.
Mm-hmm. Is there more tendency for a hive mind, what's called a hive mind, within that group?
We do not exactly call it a hive mind. No.
No. Okay. And going back to Jim McCarty's comment about, you know, there's 65 million wanderers and there's three other group souls or three total group souls, but would this be one of the group souls that Ra Group was referring to?
We do not have the data to answer that.
Yeah. Well, in general, is there another group soul? Well, you said there's a separate one for India?
Well, it's not according to the Indian borders. It is according to the belief systems within India and the Indian masters.
Mm-hmm. Like, you know, it goes beyond their boundaries of the country. It's not a national.
Yeah, yes, it is not a in accord with their boundaries.
So, say, for example, somebody like Yogananda. Was Yogananda involved with that group soul?
He knew of that group soul, yes. He was more of a free spirit and did not stick to the guidelines of one group or another. He looked everywhere.
Yeah. Are you able to confirm the accuracy of the Ra groups?
Yes.
The Ra groups should be here. They should be able to do that. The 65 million wanderers on Earth. Is the Ra group? Would the Ra group like to answer my question about that?
That is the figure. Yes.
Now, is that was in 1980? Has the figure gone up? Has the figure gone up since 1980?
We look at your question. We see that many have migrated to Earth to help, and that many are still there, providing a basis and an organization for further growth and migration into the higher densities, which is one of their goals.
Mm-hmm. As the Ra group evolves, and there's still an evolutionary path, there was indicated that after so many millions of years, they would merge back with the oneness.
Yes.
And that sounds like they would no longer have their individuation any longer. They would be part of the light.
Part of God, yes.
Part of God. Is that correct?
Yes.
And then it was indicated the Elohim does not merge back to the oneness. The Elohim has to remain in a position to keep it all together, so to speak.
We work very hard on keeping it together and maintaining the individuality of each, as we have a serious job to do.
Mm-hmm. And obviously, if the Elohim was not there, the world, the universe would still continue. Because it now operates without needing the Elohim. That's correct, right? Yeah.
Yes, however, there is a balancing effect provided by the Elohim.
Mm-hmm. I would imagine so. In other words, it will continue, the world will continue, but it would be a nightmare, so to speak, without...
Well, one of your members has mentioned there tends to be entropy and things tend to run down. So the watch needs to be maintained to keep people on a high level.
So the Elohim kind of does that, yes?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It was very interesting that in our initial sessions with Terry, I think it was with Terry, I had asked, well, I was discovering that much of the Old Testament was connected with the Anunnaki. The Anunnaki being various gods for the different areas. And there was somewhat of a mixed polarity on it, but the Anunnaki were derivative for billions of years from the Elohim. And now they were in bodies. And of course, the story goes there were gold mining on Earth, and somehow they must have known of their connection with the Elohim, because they actually called themselves the Elohim, and then the Bible says the sons of God mated with the daughters of man. So, how did
the Anunnaki put themselves up as gods? They wish to be viewed as gods.
Right. But how did they know of their connection with the Elohim? Since they called themselves the Elohim, they must have known of the connection.
That's way back in history. And everything is now, too, so they are connected, and they do have some memories.
Why were their memories not wiped out like they are for everyone else that takes a body in this realm?
There is, in the actual linear life-to-life existence, knowledge passed down from history.
Mm-hmm. So they knew from passed down knowledge.
Yes.
Did they also have members of their group at the channel?
Just a moment. Yes. However, they tended to have distortions in what they brought through.
The channelers did.
Yes.
Okay. And let's go back to the Indian, not really Indian country, but Indian culture, religion. I assume like Hindus, perhaps. The Brahmins, the Indian do have a whole hierarchy. Trying to remember the names now. One time studied it. The Brahmins were at the top. Somebody on our line is thinking I know, but don't tell me. Don't break the mood. Okay. I'm trying to remember the common person in India. But they had a caste system, for sure, which was a hierarchy.
Yes.
People were born into a caste system, and they would have their place in that caste system, and as far as I understand it, at least
maybe this has changed in more recent times, but somebody, if they're born into one caste, that was it, you know. They stayed in that caste. And
they tended in reincarnation to go back to that caste. And mm-hmm. that was what was familiar.
Mm-hmm. And can you tell us something about the group soul that's involved in the oversoul for the Indian thing?
They took in the group chanting as they are available for the Indians as guides. They are available to masters to bring through information, and they are available for individuals passing over to go into the group, much as individuals, one of the choices in other cultures are to go into the Ra group.
Mm-hmm. So, I'm sure everything happens that I can think of. So let me just say it so you can confirm it. I would imagine a group soul and an individual evolving soul would probably stay together in their evolutionary paths over a number of lifetimes.
Yes.
And so somebody is in a certain group soul evolution, then they'll come back and reincarnate back into it, and back into it, and back into it for thousands of times, perhaps. Yes?
Yes.
And
they will choose religious leaders that are aligned with that soul group.
Yeah. Now, will they, does it happen sometimes that somebody crosses over from one soul group to another?
Yes, particularly wanderers.
Particularly wanderers who just want to know everything, right?
Right.
So does that come because they make a decision on the other side to do that? Or does that come because they meet somebody on this side who is connected to the other soul group, and they get into an affiliation that way?
It can be all kinds of things. But they do come in contact with another group and then decide to explore that.
Mm-hmm. And so the group souls don't usually affiliate with each other, though. They're not even aware of each other in general.
No, that's why it was such a big event when the Elohim and the Ra group got together, because the Ra group had misconceptions about the Elohim group. The Elohim group had a broader vision of the Ra group. More specifically, the Ra group in ascending still has some of the qualities of life in the third density. And it is hard to shake those characteristics when one has lived for a long time in the third density. and they tend to carry those things into the higher plane with the Ra group, but yet aren't aware where their proclivities have come from.
You know, when David Wilcock first got a notice that he was Edgar Cayce from his sources, there was, it seemed like, a leader of a council that called himself Table Rock.
Yes.
That was in the Wilcox
Table
Challenge.
Rock is a very stable entity that has his place in the management of the Rock group.
Mm-hmm. Okay. He's not listening now, is he?
He has some attention on this, as we have expressed, and the energy, the signature of his soul.
Mm-hmm. Now, the Ra group in the Carla Ruckert sessions talked about the logos repeatedly, and the sub-logos, the sub-logi, and but they never used the word Elohim, although it seemed to me that when they said logos and sub-logi, they were referring to the Elohim and perhaps the one infinite creator. Is that correct?
We see that the logos would be a entity that would be in charge of a certain specific portion of a star group,
mm-hmm.
and would set the standard for the sector, set the rules for the sector.
Mm-hmm. So the Elohim is not really the logos or the logi. They're
no.
above that. They're above that.
Yes, that's because correct.
They don't set the rules, okay? They
right.
let the lower holograms set the rules for a particular
sector.
Dominion.
Yes,
sector.
Dominion.
Yeah.
That's correct.
Yeah. Now, on our planet, in our solar system, I believe there's a sub-sub-sub-sub-logi, or sub-sub-logi, something, that is the logi for our solar system, which is located on Saturn. And I don't believe I've ever asked you this, but there have been books about this, and it seemed as if that was what was being referred to. Am I correct?
Yes.
And is that sub-logi that is the regulator of this solar system, the one that's called the Council of Nine?
No.
Do they have a name?
There is a higher that is in charge, which is higher than the Council of Nine.
Mm-hmm.
We do not have their name.
Mm-hmm. Are they? Is the higher group still on Saturn?
No, Saturn is a subgroup.
Mm-hmm. When I say they're on Saturn, they're not a group that has, I don't think they're a group that has bodies. They're a group of
no.
energy, right?
Yes, yes.
And in the Ra material, it was referred to that, for example, the Ra group had to petition in order to be able to do the intervention where they showed up in bodies 10,000 years ago with Ra-Ta. So who is the group in our solar system that people have to petition for that kind of permission?
It is a subgroup that is connected with the solar system, but it is also connected on the other side with more than the solar system, that there is a bridge, and this group is a bridge between the larger celestial bodies and the solar system. It is a connection.
Mm-hmm. Why is Saturn the source of this regulatory authority group for our solar system?
It is a subgroup, and it was a median location that mm-hmm. had reaches into all sides of the solar system from their vantage point.
Does the Earth...
the rings provided a stable place.
Yeah. Does Earth and Sun and all the planets communicate with this group on Saturn?
They are under the influence of the group on Saturn.
Mm-hmm.
And in a sense, they take orders from them and maintain their paths, their ring, their trajectories, and
mm-hmm.
Are held in place.
Mm-hmm. So, do they ever get into fights and arguments?
They may wish to, but the mechanics that have been put into place keep them in line.
I see. So, in other words, that group doesn't just have an authority of respect or position. They have vibrational authority.
That's correct.
Okay. So that what they say goes because the vibrations compel the other groups to
keep
yield,
their place.
To keep
yes.
their place, yeah. And when you get a regular, oh, 655, you know, we got into some really interesting topics tonight, and kind of mind-blowing, and I felt a little bit like an attorney cross-examining a witness, but thank you for being so patient, answering everything, and do you have anything you'd like to say in closing?
We send love light to the solar system and all the entities involved in keeping it in place, and all the entities, say, on Earth were very patient and have suffered greatly at the hands of man.
Thank you. So, we invite you to join us when we do Whole Planet Healing coming up in 4 minutes. And on that note, we will bring this session to a close and unmute everybody. And thank you, Terry, for being the source of these answers.
All callers are unmuted.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Was that interesting?
That's amazing.
very, very interesting.
Very.
Oh.
I just
it was very cool.
The last of it, man. That was awesome.